All right. Welcome, everybody. It is great to see you all here on what is not after tax season. So welcome to Tax Mama's Place, the home of the tax nerd. Our topic today is everything you wanted to know about the EA exam, but didn't know who to ask, kind of paraphrasing an old Woody Allen movie. And this is relating to the exam year 2021 and 2022. But before we get into all of that, let's just know that we're celebrating Financial Literacy Month. That's April. And so what are we supposed to know? We're supposed to be extremely financially literate in order to become enrolled agents, aren't we? And better yet, this is also Records and Information Management Month. Somebody really understands this month of April, don't they? So what are we going to talk about today? These are all of the topics we're going to cover, all about what an enrolled agent is, who can sit for the exam, how to register, the dates, the scoring, the content of the exam, how the exam looks and works, what you don't want to use, how to challenge the score, studying with buddies, and whatever your questions are. Along the way, if you post a question in the chat box, I will try to answer it, but there's a lot to cover, and I'm hoping we can get through all of it and maybe answer all your questions towards the end. For those of you who attended our February or our March session, and you already have all of that information, what I did was I marked some of the pages with this new flashing icon. So if you're listening to this later or you're watching this later on, those are the only pages you need to check on because everything else we covered in February. Now, what exactly is an enrolled agent? Well, according to the IRS, the IRS has enormous respect for enrolled agents, believe it or not. They say that this is the highest credential that the IRS awards. Are enrolled agents better than CPAs or attorneys? No, we're different. We work hand in hand very often. And like CPAs and attorneys, we have unlimited rights to practice before the IRS. Unlike CPAs and attorneys, we also have rights to practice in all 50 states. CPAs and attorneys, their practice when it comes to the state level is limited to the state or states where they have their certification or registration. So somebody who wants to move around a lot, being an EA in addition to being a CPA or an attorney is a big advantage. Also, some attorneys become enrolled agents because when they're doing representation with the IRS, sometimes they find the IRS either reacts suspiciously or with hostility when there's an attorney representing a client. But if they can represent themselves as enrolled agents, the person they're dealing with at the IRS takes it a little bit more in stride and they don't feel as hostile or intimidated. And this has been borne out by actual experiences of people who were attorneys and also got their EAs. When it comes to the exam, who qualifies for the exam itself? You know, with a CPA or an attorney, you pretty much need to have a college degree. You know, you need to have all kinds of other things under your belt. We're going to talk about what you need, what your minimum age needs to be, whether you need to be a citizen or a resident alien, and what compliance means and the PTIN. So let's take a look at some of the specifics. What's really interesting about the EA credential is that you don't actually have to have any kind of degree. You don't have to have a college degree. You don't even have to have a high school diploma. You do need to know how to read and write very well, and you need to know a huge amount about the U.S. income tax code, procedures, practices, accounting, and a whole lot of other things. So for people who are not necessarily traditional about going to school, this may be an ideal profession. In addition, for people going to college and who want to make a living working your way through college and not running up a lot of student loan debt, you get your EA at the beginning and you can pick up clients from among your other college students, maybe even your instructors, and use that to help your way going through school. So the minimum age, we didn't used to have one of those until I asked the IRS about a 16-year-old whose mother was an EA and he was studying with her. And so when they set up the PTIN system and made it mandatory for the EA program, they established 18 as the minimum age. So sometimes I ask IRS questions and it comes back and bites me. What about citizenship? Well, you don't have to be a U.S. citizen. You don't have to have a green card. You can get your EA credential from anywhere in the world. So you could be in India, France, China, Japan, and be a citizen there. All you have to do is know enough about U.S. tax law to pass the exam. And with the fact that Prometric is now overseeing the exam and offering the exam, they're able to offer it in several countries. Fewer than before COVID-19, but there are several countries where you can sit for the exam. Apparently not in Mexico. The big issue that you do have, especially if you're a U.S. taxpayer, is you have to be in compliance for the IRS to issue you your credential. They do a background check, and they also make sure that you've paid all of the taxes that you owe. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a few minutes, but you have to have filed and paid all of your taxes. And whether we're talking about business or personal taxes or payroll taxes, all of those count. And then we come to the PTIN. Let me get to that in just a moment. Somebody wants to know the difference between the EA exam and the regulation portion of the CPA. I don't know. It's been many, many years since I took it, but let's put it this way. The EA exam is all about taxes, period. Same thing with EA continuing education. So the CPA exam, which I did take a long time ago before you were born, had enough tax on it that at the time I did not know enough tax and I did not pass that first part. Ray says, as an attorney, I'm interested in EA so I don't have to follow strict attorney advertising rules if I advertise as an EA. EAs have advertising rules too, but I think you'll be able to live with those. So let's talk about the PTIN. First of all, it's a preparer tax ID number. Every paid tax preparer has to have one of these. So if you're doing any kind of income tax returns, not payroll tax, you have to have a PTIN. And in order to sit for the EA exam through Prometric, you have to get your PTIN because that's going to be your underlying identification through the Prometric system. So what I'm going to ask you to do, if you don't already have a PTIN, I'm going to ask you to log in online and get it in just a couple of minutes as soon as we're done with today's session. So this is the login on the IRS website. Literally, if your name and your social security number, your name on your social security account match, you should have no problem getting it. If you're doing tax returns, you already have one. You could file for it on paper. It's still a 2020 form, but it will will take weeks and weeks to get it. And why do that when you can get it instantly online? There is a fee this year. So it started out in the dim recesses of history as $64.25. Then we had the Loving versus Commissioner lawsuit, and the IRS was not allowed to charge the fee. And so it went to zero for a long time. Last year, they got court permission to reinstate the fee. It is now $35.95. per year, and it renews at $35.95. You have to renew it every year, ideally in December, so that you are able to prepare tax returns during the year. Now, one of the advantages is the PTIN database allows you to see all of the CPE, the continuing education credit, from all of the different providers. And if you prepare 50 or more tax returns, you'll also see the list of tax returns you've prepared in your PTIN database. And you'll also have your identification information and your status as a tax professional included in the IRS tax preparers database. So you won't be able to do that without the PTIN and some other stuff. So just log in and just follow the instructions. It is very easy. What is this important thing about AFSPs? Because that's the other thing that you need to have in order to be listed in the IRS Preparers Directory. So the AFSP is a voluntary program called the Annual Filing Season Program. And those people who are not EA, CPAs, or attorneys and want to have any representation rights here at all need to be able to get this AFSP Record of Completion. And I'll tell you what you need to do to get it. Now, we did have something called an RTRP, a Registered Tax Return Preparer, but because of that lawsuit, IRS was enjoined. They were prevented from making it mandatory for all tax professionals to know something about taxes. And you need to understand the reason why this was so important at the time, because Maryland, California, and Oregon are the only states that absolutely legislate a requirement, an education requirement, and a testing requirement for tax professionals. New York has a registration requirement and some education requirements, but they don't have a testing requirement. So out of 50 states, 46 states and none of the U.S. territories have any requirement whatsoever for somebody to get a PTIN, an electronic filing ID number, and prepare tax returns. The IRS does not have any control over that until Congress changes something in the laws. So in 46 states, people who are shoeshine boys, for instance, can prepare tax returns without ever having opened even an IRS publication. And that's why IRS was trying to make it mandatory that if you're going to be paid to prepare a tax return, you actually need to know something about U.S. tax. So that is gone. All right. So, but they did give those people a reward as part of the requirements for the annual filing season program record of completion. So normally somebody with no other background who is a preparer and wants to show some level of competence and experience, they have to have 18 hours of continuing education every year to get this certificate. That 18 hours breaks down to 2 hours of ethics, a 6-hour federal tax update course that they have to take every year, and they have to pass a 100-question exam, and they also have to take an additional 12 hours of continuing education, which is 2 hours of ethics and the 10 hours of other federal tax courses. For some people, that's a lot. I mean, I would not want to be an AFSP record of completion holder because I don't want to sit through that 6 hour course all at one time. And I don't want to have to take that 100 question exam year after year after year. So to reward those people who did go through the RTRP program, the IRS said, you don't have to take that 6 hour course and that 100 question exam. Instead, you don't need 18 hours of CPE, you only need 15 hours. And so instead of that 6 hour course, you do need 3 hours of federal tax updates, 2 hours of ethics, and the other 10 hours of general tax information. There are other people who also qualify for this reduced requirement, and those are certain people of certain accounting certifications. And one of the things that we also got for you guys, one of my graduates, one of my instructors, works is a VITA volunteer and now runs a VITA site. And she asked one day, can VITA volunteers get continuing education credit? And so Susan asked that. I posted it to the IRS and I asked, why can't they, considering they have to test and do all of this stuff every year and they have to know quite a bit for all the free work that they're doing? And the IRS kind of scratched their heads and said, you know, that's a great idea. So not only do VITA volunteers get continuing education credit for the work they do, they are also exempt from that 6 hour federal tax update course and that 100 question exam. Who else is exempt? Anybody who passes part one of the EA exam and during the open testing window also gets these reduced requirements. So if nothing else, aim to pass part one of the exam, and then you can skip that 6 hour federal tax update course and get your annual filing season program record of completion in order to, you know, be able to do additional representation on your audits for tax returns that you've prepared. So somebody wants to know, if I get my CPA first, I still need all three parts of the EA review course in order to pass the exam. Well, I don't know about the review course, but you need to pass all three parts of the exam. So you'll have to decide how much you already know. Maybe you don't need part one of a review course. Maybe you only need two and three. Or maybe you only need three. So let me just tell you a little bit, speaking of the course. I have been teaching an EA exam review course online for 17 years, started teaching it at UCLA in person many, many years ago. And our class is going to start on May 1st with orientation. It is an amazing class because it's not really a review class. So if all you need is just to be able to pass the exam and you know everything else, just pick up GLIM, Fast Forward Academy, Passkey, Lambers, pick up anything, you don't need my class. But if you want to learn tax, if you want to learn how to do tax research, if you want to learn how to do representation, how to get rid of the horrible clients in your practice and a whole lot of other things, this is like a 3-year college education rolled into 6 months. So if you want to join my class, I'll give you a lot more information at the end and a bribe, $100 bribe to stay here until the end. So let's talk about the exam itself. So you have your PTIN, and then you have to go into Prometric and set up your account. So that's the other thing that I want you to do. I want you to get your PTIN if you don't already have one today, then go into Prometric and set up the account. Do not pay for anything at this time. Just set up your account. Make sure that it works. Yes, you can sign up on paper form, but that, again, everything going through IRS and Prometric takes forever. So just do it online. Right now, we're going to talk a lot more about Prometric and what's going on. Don't try to schedule your exam until you have an idea about when you're going to be ready to take it. So we'll give you some more pointers about how to make that determination. But get these two things out of the way, the PTIN and getting Prometric set up. That way, if you're having any problems, you can clear them up before the last minute when you really need it. This is what the application for the exam looks like. It's inside the Prometric database, so you won't actually be sending in this Form 2557. It asks some very fundamental questions: name, address, phone number, date of birth, and the PTIN, right? See that on the bottom? You have to have the PTIN to apply. Now, you can schedule the appointments online at the Prometric website. I like to use this link, prometric.com/IRS, because I find it easy to remember. They have another few different URLs that will point to the same place. And so this is just easy. They have a phone number, an 800 phone number. They're open from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. I think it's Eastern time. You're never going to reach anybody, so try to get things done electronically. They will accept Visa, MasterCard, American Express, and electronic checks. They no longer accept paper checks, cash, or money orders. You can pay within the system. The cost now is $185 per exam. So they raised it just a little tiny bit since last year, not very much. Paying for all three in advance is a waste of time. There is no discount for volume. Tin wants to know, do I need to become a tax preparer to have experience for 2 years first and then take the test? No, you don't need to do that. Not in my class. That's the whole point of my class, is to get you what you need to know without having had the experience first. If you've had no experience at all and just use one of the test databases, you may know enough to pass the exam, but you won't know enough about how to do anything or really prepare a tax return ethically. Now, one of the things that I do for my students is, when my students have problems, if they tell me about the problems, I act as an intermediary and I try to get help directly from the IRS. And some of the problems that we've had, for instance, one person went in there, sat down, and they do this little initial 15-minute thing to get you familiar with their system. And he was taking notes during those 15 minutes and didn't actually start the exam. And so he got a zero. He'd spent his 180 some odd dollars and they weren't going to give it back to him. Well, I got him another appointment. I got the IRS convinced and Prometric to let him do it again without paying. So, you know, his statement was he went from zero to hero, because when he actually took the exam, he passed. Other problems we've had, especially even before COVID, was Prometric closing down websites. One of our candidates in Hawaii had to drive hours to get to her test site, get there and find out they're closed. They're just flat out closed and nobody told her. And she ran into that problem a couple of times. I beat IRS over the head and we got her somebody to come into the state and cover and get her exams done. But, you know, a lot of the problems that we've had dealing with Prometric issues, technical issues, and so forth. Right now, I'm able to work directly with IRS and I am a serious pest. So they do work with us and they do try to help. They really, really do. Let's do a survey question. We'll do a poll. And the poll is very complicated. Do you have your PTIN? Give you a couple of minutes. It's similar to what we're going to do. Someone's having an audio problem. There's no point in my telling him what to do audio because he can't hear, right? Okay. Does this session qualify for CPE? Not this session. There's nothing in here that actually qualifies. So most people, not most, 82% say you already have your PTIN. Yay. Three people do not, and six are saying you'll take care of it today. So please do take care of that today. That would be very, very important. Okay. The other thing is there are instances where people have disabilities. So if you've got disabilities, then you need to let them know right away. So contact them well in advance. People with specific disabilities where you need to be in a separate room, you need to have your oxygen or something like that, get in touch with them as early as possible because they have limited extra rooms in the facilities and they will fill up. So let them know in advance. And so work with the schedule, with your study schedule, to know when you're going to be able to take the exam. So Laura says, I applied and they could not verify me. I uploaded the notarized passport copy and notarized driver's license. I don't know if you called, I don't know which one it is you're not, didn't verify, whether it's PTIN or Prometric, but I have heard that people who have called the PTIN hotline have been able to get a lot of help. Well, if you have to do this manually, then that's not good. It will take 4 to 6 weeks. That's okay, because they're not going to start releasing test results until the next couple of months. So we'll talk about that too. But that's another reason. If there are going to be problems, you need to get it started immediately. So what about the exam? All right, you're going to be able to take the exam four times during the testing window. The testing window starts on May 1st and it ends on February 28th next year, unless it's a leap year. And they are offered all over the United States, fewer places than they were in the past. So make sure that when you log in and set up your account, you find out where they have testing sites in your own area or nearby. Sometimes people have had to travel quite a distance in order to be able to sit for the exam. And my feeling is if you have to go out of state or someplace because there's nothing right near you, find a place you want to spend the weekend and turn it into a vacation. No, it's not deductible. Okay, the exam time is 3.5 hours. It's an overall 4-hour session. I'll tell you more about how that works, but there's 15-minute preparation, 3.5 hours for the exam, and then 15 minutes for your review notes or comments to the IRS. We've already told you how much it costs, but the reason not to schedule too early is because there's a cancellation fee. If you reschedule more than 30 days before the exam, not a problem. If you try to reschedule 5 days before the exam and you haven't died, you're not getting your money back, so you might as well sit for the exam. If, in fact, you find you have COVID and you're in the hospital, they'll give you back your money and let you reschedule. The main Prometric number over here is the 800 number, but there is a problem phone number. The other toll number is for people out of the country. There's a problem number that they don't publish. It still works. So don't tell anybody about this problem, but if you're having a problem reaching somebody at Prometric, this other 800-853-6769 number might help you. They have the candidate information bulletin published, and it gives you all of the details that I'm going to summarize for you. As far as where the locations are, so if you go to this particular link, prometric.com/status, and you click Control F on the page, you'll be able to search for your city or your state and see what's available. And you'll be able to see if it's limited occupancy, if it's closed for a period of time, or whatever. There used to be a really good summary page. They don't have that anymore. And for closures, they have this webpage, prometric.com/closures, and you can search by country. You can see when I did this, it says Santa Monica was going to be closed from November of last year till August of this year. Peterborough in the UK, because they've got those locations, are closed for the entire year. There is a location in Puerto Rico that should now be open. So you can look up your location even by country. So that's kind of nifty. Okay, talking about IDs, please don't think I'm being facetious. It is super important that the picture on your ID matches what you look like now. We have had people show up who have lost 100 pounds and they look completely and totally different. They were turned away. Somebody actually had a sex change but didn't change the picture on their ID. You know, I don't know how hard it was to do the sex change operation, but it couldn't have been that hard to change the picture on the ID. They were turned away. So make sure that you have an ID with a current photo and your signature. Ideally, a driver's license, they have the passport cards you can use. So otherwise, you're going to go there. You're not going to get a refund if they turn you away. There are people with specific prohibitions with respect to religious beliefs and so forth. If you are among those people, you're going to have to contact Prometric about how to identify yourself, but they do have guidelines. So let's talk about the exam. The exam this year, just like last year, it's confusing because you're going to have to wrap your mind around things that are in the current year, the 2020 tax return preparation, but that aren't going to be on the exam. We had the same problem last year. So for the exam for this testing season, it covers any tax law that was passed as of 12/31/2020. Anything that was passed by 12/31/2020 is on the exam. Anything else that was passed in 2021 that we're dealing with on a day-to-day basis on our classes, on our tax returns, they are not going to be on the exam. So the reduced, unemployment, not having to pay the penalties on the Payroll Protection Act, and so forth. All of that stuff that we're dealing with that changed after December 31st, you need to know that to do tax returns. Unknow that when you're sitting for the exam. And I'm going to make sure to summarize that in the material that I provide so you know what things to unknow when you're sitting for the exam. So Abby wants to know, how long will my class be? What are the materials you're using? She's currently using Fast Forward. All of those things, Abby, will be answered after we talk about everything about the EA exam. And those people that aren't interested in my class leave. So we'll talk about that afterwards. So let's go back to the exam and scoring. Historically, when the IRS ran the exam, they had three different kinds of questions, and they were all either multiple choice or true-false. We got 1 point for the true-false questions, 2 points for the general multiple choice questions, and 3 points for the multiple choice questions that were math problems. Okay? We don't have true-false questions anymore, and now Prometric, with their huge computer database system, they're using statistical analysis to determine what the value of each question is. So each question doesn't actually have its own value. What they do is they've built this enormous database because they've been running the exam for about 10 or 12 years. And so they pull questions, 100 questions randomly for each person's exam. Everybody gets a different exam, and they try to make the exam, those 100 questions, of similar complexity overall, and based on the relationship of a question to the total 100 questions, that's going to be the score that the computer imparts. So we don't really know, you know, exactly how to define what a specific question is worth. What you do need to know is that you need a score of 105 to pass. The potential scores, I guess, are $40 for getting your name, 40 points for getting your name in, and the maximum score is $130. You are not going to know your score if you passed. You will only know that you passed. If you did not get 105, then they will give you your score. And if you don't get 105, the Prometric system gives you messages explaining what you need to know more about. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that because that's really kind of interesting what we did with that. You're able to retake each exam if you didn't pass four times during the testing window. Unlike historically, those of us who took it when it was an IRS paper exam, we got to take it once in September or October, had to wait until March for our scores. And then if we didn't pass, we had to take it again the following September or October, and we only got one shot. If we didn't pass the part we missed, we had to start over. You don't have that problem. So if you don't pass one of the parts and you think you have a pretty good handle, one of the things you can do is reschedule for 2 days later and you'll get a completely different exam, but you have time to do some boning up. So these score reports about when you don't pass, and they say that they will give you a 1, 2, or 3 score on each of the different topic areas. And I'll show you how many topic areas there are in each exam. Each exam has a different number of topics. They're going to tell you that number one is weak. You need a lot of additional study. Number two, you have a marginal knowledge of the topic. And number three, you have very strong knowledge in the topic. Now, here's what happened. They started issuing these 1, 2, 3s when people failed. And I asked the IRS, look, it's already in your computer system. Why can't you issue that same analysis when people pass? You may not tell us our score, but let's say we pass the exam and we want to know if there are areas we should be studying more deeply. Once again, scratched his head. I think he's going bald now. And he says, yeah, that's a good idea. So now, because we asked that question, you get the same analysis if you pass. Not just if you fail. So, what's going on now? Well, unfortunately, because of all of the new things going on and all of the changes in the tax law in the past year, Prometric is retooling. And when they do that, in order to get the statistical analysis to work, they need to have a lot of test data. So they are having people take the exams between May 1st and about August 1st. They're not going to be issuing results when you're done with the exam. You're not going to get the results until later. And so that was a huge shock for many people, because some people were counting on being able to sit for the exam in May, and they might have had, you know, promotions or something dependent on it. And so I was a little bit annoyed. I know the IRS does this retooling every few years, but, you know, they could tell us, right? So I told the IRS, look, you are being reasonably unfair to a lot of people by suddenly springing this on them. And I want to know if there's any way you can make exceptions for people who absolutely need the scores because they have a promotion that is depending on them getting the score in June or July. And they said, no, we can't do that. But I also said, you know in advance, that you're going to do this, okay? So why don't you have the good grace to let us know a couple of months before the end of the testing period in February, so people who have to rely on getting that score will take the exam before the window closes in February. And so they said, we are noting your suggestion for the future. Please understand that when I am dealing with the IRS and they tell me we are noting your suggestion for the future, that has always meant they have implemented the suggestion. And as we go through the exam itself, I'll show you what they have implemented that we have requested. So the other thing that you want to know about, which is really important, is that unlike when we took the exam and we had 1 year to finish taking the parts we missed, you traditionally have 2 years to finish taking the exam. So if you start and you do part one, let's say in May 16th, or you did in May 16th of 2020, you would normally have until May 16th of 2022. But last year, because of COVID, IRS said anyone taking the exam last year would get 3 years. And once again, Tax Mama intervened because she's a pest and said, no, 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 no. All of the people who took the exam in 2019, they are trying to get dates to take the exam this year, and either they're not getting the dates or they're showing up and they're being canceled at the last minute. The people who took it in 2019 need that extra year as well. And so now the IRS agreed that if anyone took it in 2019 or 2020, you have 3 years to finish taking all three parts. And I've got to tell you, time goes by really, really quickly. So anytime you take an exam and you pass it, put it on your calendar. You can use Google Calendar, put it on your calendar for 3 years ahead, like a month before, as that is your deadline to finish taking all three exams and passing them. So put that on your calendar so that you don't miss it. And you might also put it like 6 or 8 months in advance also, so you have time to finish taking the parts, because it's really painful when you miss it by 1 day and now you have to start over. Everybody wants to know about passing. Well, they started doing this around 2008, and the passing rates are lower now than they were in 2008. And there's a link to the information on the Prometric website. Basically, there's also a difference about people who take the exam in the summer versus people who take it at the last couple of months in January and February. So for part one, the latest statistics show that people taking it in the summer, about 65% of the people pass, and those who take it in January and February, only about 55% pass. And you can go look and play with the statistics yourself. For people taking part two, the average was about 70% who took it in the summer, and those people who took it in January and February, only about 60% passed. Part three has the highest passage rate of all because it has the smallest body of information and the least amount of math. And so the passage rate for part three, even though it's new information for most people, is 90%. It drops to about 80% in January and February. And here's a nice little chart for those of you who want to see the historical passage rates. Let's do the next polling question, if I can find the next polling question. There we go. Do you have your Prometric account yet? Jorge says, I missed part one because of reaction on COVID-19 shot on February 23rd. How long before August 5th will I have to wait for the results? I don't know. They're going to be testing their system. So if you take it in May, then you'll just wait probably until about August 1st for them to send you, they'll email you the results. Okay, so we have 47% saying yes, they've got their Prometric account. 33% say no, and 10 people say you're signing up today. Yes, you need the PTIN to get the Prometric account. So you may want to find out if you talk to somebody, sometimes calling into the PTIN system and reaching, you know, the third person you call may be able to help you. So sometimes, you know, working with the IRS, working with these agencies, sometimes you reach the right person. We do call in two or three times till we get the right person who knows what to do. Sometimes it actually works. All right, so what is in the exam itself? How is the exam created? Well, the exam is actually created by enrolled agents. And the enrolled agents are drawn from the membership of the National Association of Enrolled Agents, NAEA, and the National Association of Tax Professionals. So once you get your EA, if you're a member of one of these organizations, you can get an invitation to get paid to help create the questions. Those of us who teach the exam reviews, those of us who create software with the test databases, we are not allowed to participate in the question creation. It's all super secret. But these EAs create the new questions, and they have to provide four answer choices. They have to provide the legal source for the answer. So did the answer come from an Internal Revenue Code section, a revenue ruling, or whatever? And I will teach you all about how to do tax research in our Part 3 class. Then what they do is they sit around, the IRS and the EAs review all the questions and the answers for things that are ambiguous, that are confusing, that the dates haven't been updated, and so forth. And they finalize all of that and put it together in the database. The original concept was that the exam was supposed to be at a difficulty level that anyone who has been a working EA for 2 years, this is the information they need to know. It is not that way now. The questions on the exam are much more difficult. Ever since EAs started showing off to each other about how brilliant they are in creating the questions, and I have to admit that some of the questions that they plug into the exam each year are so far out of reach that many EAs who've been working for 5 or 10 years have never routinely encountered any of those or encountered them at all. There is a huge amount of information that you need to study, and the database of information gets bigger and bigger every year, every time that Congress passes another law. So there is an awful lot to study. There's an awful lot to study. So these are the three exams. We've got Part 1 covers individuals, Part 2 covers businesses, and Part 3 covers representation, practices, and procedures. Each exam is 100 questions, but only 85 of the questions count, and you don't know which 15 questions aren't going to count in your score, so answer all of them. So in Part 1, you have 6 domains. Remember I told you would get a 1, 2, and 3 for each topic? So the domains are the topics, and when you finish the exam, whether you pass or fail, for each one of these topics, you're going to get a score of 1, 2, or 3 about your proficiency in the topic. So preliminary work to prepare tax returns, there are going to be about 14 questions on the exam. Income and assets, there'll be 17 questions. Deductions and credits, pretty much the same. Taxation in general, and that's 15 questions. Advising the individual taxpayer is a new topic in Part 1, and they're part of the database. They've broken out some other topics. And so there are 11 questions, and then the specialized returns for individuals, there are 11 questions in that. What does that mean to you? Prometric outlined their new emphasis on the things that are changing in the exam. They're putting a lot more emphasis on things like ITIN, the child tax credit, injured spouse, household side. So they're looking at more information about the ethics related to refundable credits. Personal property rental and insolvency, they're looking at all of the foreign income concepts and filings and so forth. Qualified charitable distributions, how you take money out of IRAs and retirement plans. Virtual currency is going to be on the exam. Looking at a lot of the different kinds of deductions, including the qualified business income deductions. And energy credits, members of the military, bartering, 1099s, antiques and collectibles, life insurance proceeds, the specialized returns, including gifts and estates, and all of the foreign filings. So all of the foreign filings. So businesses, once again, we have 100 questions, but this time we don't have 6 domains. We only have 3. We have business entities and considerations, 30 questions, business tax preparation, 37, and specialized returns and taxpayers are 18. Ironically, this is the biggest part of the exam. This covers Part 2 covers more information than any of the other 2 exams because it covers so much. Every single entity, Schedule C, partnerships, corporations, S corporations, trusts, you name it, it's covered. It deals with a lot of startup and organization stuff, disposition of property, Section 1031 exchanges. There's all kinds of information about calculating the qualified business income deduction. They've got stuff on farming, and they've added a new area for part 2 is they have an entire area on rental property with everything related to that, with income, expenses, and all of the limitation. They moved this area out of part 1 because we didn't have enough stuff in part 2. So they figured we want to have even more complicated stuff in part 2 that people need to learn. I am not thrilled with what they've done this year. Part 3, this is the one that 90% of people tend to pass. This has 4 domains. Practices and procedures, 26 questions, representation before the IRS, 25 questions, specific areas of representation, 20 questions, and the filing process. And this filing process is the one that a lot of people mess up on because you don't really think about this, but in that part of the exam, you're dealing with the compliance issues for all of the questionnaire on identifying the people who have refundable credits and head of household, making sure you have their identity documents. This is also where we have all of the penalties, the preparer penalties. And please understand, on that one compliance form, the penalties are something like $520 for not asking the questions and getting the verification, but not just once. Once for the child tax credit, once for the American Opportunity Credit, once for head of household, and once for the earned income credit. So it's a lot. It's over $2,000 worth of penalties for not bothering to fill out that form. So there is no such thing as a quickie H&R Block tax return anymore. Those returns require a lot of time and verification. So let's do the last survey. And this is, have you ever taken any part of the EA exam? So all of these are totally personal. And if you have questions about stuff, please, before you call us with the questions, stay for the rest of today because we're going to answer a lot of questions. So everybody in, give you Three, two, one. Okay, so five people have passed part one, or one part. Four people have passed part two. One person is here just for fun. Thank you very much. 34 people have never taken any parts, and a few have tried but didn't pass anything. But bless it, you are definitely going to do that this year. So yes, let's see if we can help you do that. So let's take a look at what the exam is like. All right. First of all, it's a computerized exam, and it's in a testing facility in a room full of a lot of computers, a long table, desk with dividers and a chair and, you know, a screen in front of you and a keyboard, kind of like one of those Dilbert cubicles you see in the cartoons. You can't bring anything with you. Anything you bring is going to go into a locker and it's going to stay there. You can have your eyeglasses. You can't have your hearing aids. You can't bring water into the room, but you can go out and drink water outside the room. They will give you paper and pencils and request a physical calculator. The first day they had the exam, the very first morning, I took part two at the site here in Pasadena, and they had a calculator on the screen. I said it wasn't acceptable. I want my people to be able to bring in a calculator or give them one. So tell me what kind of a calculator would not be acceptable. They said, no, no, we'll have them. So by the end of the first testing year, all of the facilities had physical calculators. So make sure that you know how to use that physical calculator, because remember, some calculators, when you are adding numbers up, everything's fine, but when you're subtracting, some of them require you to put in the second number that you're subtracting and then press the minus. Some of them require you to put the minus in first and then the number. Make sure you know which way that works. There is a sample of the software running on the Prometric site. So if you go to the C tutorial on the Prometric site, you can use this link. You can go there and see exactly what the exam is going to look like. There's about a 15-minute tutorial. You can go there in person and visit the local site. They used to charge you $30 for what was called a test drive. They don't charge you anything now, but remember, they are limited. They're using about a third of the facility because of distancing for COVID, so they might not be able to give you an appointment. So try to get familiar with it online. It's easier. The question is all multiple choice. There are no more true falses. You can mark the questions that you want to review. And I'm going to show you how you can see the complete and the incomplete questions. So I'm going to show you what it looks like. Some of you may have heard of the remote testing option, and we loved the idea when we came across it last year, especially with the whole COVID thing going around. Prometric calls it the Pro Proctor. IRS has tried beta testing. It's not ready for prime time as far as the IRS goes. So if you've heard about it or you've seen something on the site that makes you get all excited and tingly, thinking, I get to do that and I don't have to go drive for hours, no, not yet. The other thing that you are going to have is a non-disclosure on the beginning of the exam. And you're basically telling the IRS and Prometric that on penalty of death, you're not going to tell anybody what's in the exam. Please take it seriously. I mean, I am seeing people posting in the Facebook IRS exams group and stuff like that with information that you should not be posting. And you have your name, you're visible, you can be identified. You could get in trouble posting that information publicly. Do not reveal the information that's in the exam, unless you're my student and you want to tell me about a problem. Only in that case, and we'll talk about that in a few moments. So what's in the exam? Here is the breakdown. You have that tutorial in advance of starting the exam. They'll set you up at the at your computer desk. The proctor will turn on your computer, find the correct exam, and start it. And they're going to start with the overview and tutorial. And you have, it says 9 minutes, but I thought it was 15, but maybe it's only nine, to go through and practice getting familiar with their software. Do it at home using that C tutorial. Use that 9 minute time to perhaps make some quick notes, but don't let that time elapse. Watch the counter. It's counting time down. And from there, you need to start the exam yourself. You can take a break anytime for a couple of minutes, get up, go out, get some water, go to the bathroom. They won't stop the clock. However, they instituted something new last year, and after the first 50 questions, the computer will stop and give you a 15-minute optional break. You won't be able to go back to the 50 questions you've just finished, so you need to make sure you are completely done reviewing those questions before you take that. You know, whether you take the break or not, you're still going to be locked out of those questions. Then you'll do the next 50 questions. When it's all over, you'll have some screens where there's a survey. They ask you what you think. If there are problems that you found in the exam, it's during that survey that you're going to be able to tell the IRS about the problems that you found. So here's how you move around in the exam. It looks very much like this. And you see the left-hand column where it says test and the numbers, 1, 2, 3, and so forth. It shows you the different question numbers. And over the one with the arrow on number 4, that's the question that you're on. So this is basically what it's going to look like. Then when you look at a question, you're going to be able to see the question on top and 4 answer choices, all right? You're able to highlight in the questions, and you're able to cross out answer choices so you can do eliminations. There's a calculator on the screen. Unless you're really comfortable using the Microsoft Windows calculator, don't do that. Ask them to give you a calculator. Roberta says it looks just like the GLIME practice tests. Yes, GLIME's tests are designed to match the Prometric. They don't always catch up. Sometimes I have to let them know. For instance, when we got IRS and Prometric to add highlighting, I had to let GLIME know that they wanted to add this. So you can look at the question and you can highlight pieces in the question itself. When you leave the question and come back later, let's say you want to mark it and come back, it's going to keep the highlights that you put in. Then if you're looking at the answers and you want to narrow down your answer choices, you can eliminate and cross out some of the answer choices. So let's say you only have 2 of them left. Both of these features are things that we brought to the IRS's attention and asked for, and they did that for us. So please understand that they are willing to work with us. If we bring them a problem and a viable solution, IRS will do their best to implement it. Gloria says it's a 7-hour exam. No, sweetheart. The combined time is 3.5 hours. So the combined time is 3.5. So go back and look at that slide. Okay. So when it comes to seeing the questions, you can see up on top the time remaining. You can click the button to finish the test, but don't do that until you're absolutely ready. You can see over there, under the questions where it says test, the question numbers. This is an example of a question. Some of them might have a grid in there and so forth. And off to the left, If you click on the bottom of the screen where there is that grid, like the tic-tac-toe grid with all nine boxes, if you click on that, you're going to get this section review at the left side of the screen. And you're going to be able to filter the questions and just look at the ones, let's say, that you haven't answered. So click on unattempted and you'll only see the questions you haven't answered. You click on the ones that are attempted. Ideally, that means the ones you've answered. But if you click on flagged, you'll be able to see the questions that, whether you answered them or not, that you flagged because you want to look at it more carefully. Okay? So learn how to navigate that and do that in advance. So when it comes to reviewing the questions, you can see over here in the middle of the screen on the section review on question number 7 and question number 15, it's kind of dog-eared. Those are the ones that you flagged that you want to look at. Be very careful about changing answers. One of the biggest reasons I've seen people fail, and they'll come and cry on my shoulder, is because they had the right answer and they changed it. Please have confidence in yourself. You've been studying. You probably know a lot. And unconsciously, you probably also know quite a bit. Trust yourself. Don't go changing answers unless you know the answer was wrong. Once you've ended that section, now that we're doing the 250 question sections, once you've ended that first 50 section batch of questions, you're not going to be able to go back. So go through all of your reviews, go through, make sure you didn't leave any unattempted. Every question should be answered. Look at the questions you flagged, make sure you clear those. Don't change them if you're not absolutely sure. And then move on to the next part, to the next 50, or take the break. That's the only time the clock is going to stop. You don't need to use the whole 15 minutes, but you might want to use 2 or 3 and then come back. So this is the 15-minute break rule. You can take unscheduled breaks along the way, but the clock won't stop. Anytime you go out, make sure that you know how to come back in. I had a complaint from somebody that at one of the Prometric sites, it wasn't for the EA exam, I think it was for the CPA exam. When they went out, she and another woman went out to the bathroom. The other woman was taking some other exam. Apparently, they were locked out of the facility and couldn't get backed in. And the proctor said, well, you should have known. Hello? No, you shouldn't have known, but make sure you do ask now that I'm aware that they have some of these really bizarre attitudes. The IRS had an area on the website where they used to post all of the copies of the exams, the questions from 1999 through 2005 before Prometric took over. They posted the questions and the answers. They removed that because they really are outdated. But what they've put on that page instead is they have added current questions that they've created. So there are some sample questions there. And they have this interesting little box with terminology that is key for the special enrollment exam sample test questions. So you definitely want to know what all of these abbreviations are. They are standard in the industry. And if you're going to be a tax professional for real, you need to know what the USC is, CFR, Treasury Reg, and so forth. Now, what about not liking the exam? You're sitting there and you have a question and the question doesn't, honest to goodness, make sense. Either the answers don't have the correct years in them, or two or more answers might actually be correct. And you know that they're wrong. You know that it's not just you didn't study and you're not sure, but you know that two of the answers could be right. When we had the IRS running the exam themselves, we would get back copies of our own exam booklet with our notes and an answer sheet, and we'd be able to write to the IRS during a 30-day window and challenge the exams. We can't do that now. That's why I say, in this instance, when you're dealing with this exam and you're not supposed to tell anybody anything that's in it, the one time that you want to be able to tell me is if there is a problem. So if there is a problem, you want to let me know, you want to tell me as much about the question as you can, not question numbers because they won't mean anything. You want to tell me about names of people in the questions, information in the answers, and what's wrong. I can talk to the IRS and Prometric and alert them. If there really is something wrong, they're going to get the information from several people about the same question. IRS will review that. They will take the information out. And we have had that happen where we've challenged some questions even since Prometric has had it. And the IRS has thrown out questions and people who've already taken the exam. Many of those were able to pass because one of the questions, one critical question that they had, turned out to be one of these wrong ones, and they were able to pass instead. Excuse me. Thank you. All right. So the strategy is that when it comes to my students, I will fight for my students. You're my student. I will take your information. And if it makes sense to me, because sometimes people will tell me that something is wrong and I can see that the question actually was correct. If you're correct about the question not making sense. And in the beginning, we had a lot of that. We don't have as much of that now. If there is a valid reason, I will, you bet, I will fight, I will go to bat for you. And anytime there is a problem in the system, like places closing down, things not getting done properly, my students not being treated well, I bug the IRS. My only concern is that I have, you know, the main contact at the IRS who's been running this exam since the day they started working with Prometric, and he's about to retire. I'm praying that he sticks around at least for another year to help everybody out. So what do you do when you pass? Because inevitably you're going to pass. Well, then you're going to file the application online, and it's a Form 23. You definitely are going to do it online. This is the link directly into pay.gov with that application. Pay the $67. It's up from $30, and then sit back and wait. IRS is going to do a background check, and what they're going to look at is compliance. They're going to look at compliance. So, they're going to make sure that you have filed all of your tax returns, made sure that you've paid all of the taxes that you owe. If you already know you have a problem, if you've got a felony or something sitting on your record, before you start studying, before you start paying or things like that, contact the IRS immediately and talk to them to make sure that they will approve you. There are a lot of things I can get the IRS to overlook. But things involving financial felonies, not very easily, okay? So first find out if you're going to be barred before you go to the expenditure. If it's routine stuff, like you haven't filed for a few years and now you're catching up, things like that I can fix. How long does it take to process the application? The IRS says it'll take 60 days. Here's the fact. If you have filed your tax return before the filing deadline, which is now May 17th, and you filed it electronically, the IRS can do it pretty quickly, okay? So if it's they have access to that information and you've paid all your taxes in the past, they can probably get you approved in 10 or 20 days. If you haven't, then what are you going to do if you file it later and even if you file electronically and so forth, it might have to go through the main headquarters computers and they may not have access to it in the IRS return prepare office. So it may take longer. But what am I seeing? I am seeing that most people are able to get their approval within 30 days or less lately. So they've actually, that office has actually been working pretty well. What's if you don't have a social security number? This is not the time to be dealing with that after you pass the exam. Dealing with that is when you get your PTIN. That's why you want to start the process to get the PTIN and sort out any identification problems in the first place. I don't know what G2G is, William. Sorry. This is what the Form 23 looks like. Okay. The fee is not refundable. They're asking fundamental questions like social security number, date of birth, PTIN. Do you have an electronic filing ID number? Then below that, they ask you to enter your employer ID numbers. So if you have a business, enter your employer ID number. If you have more than one business and more than one employer ID number, enter all of those. Now, the other thing that you have to be careful for is if you've been working with clients and getting them employer ID numbers, filing their applications using your social security number, you need to make sure that they have been filing all of their tax returns, because any social security, any EIN, any employer ID number you applied for using your social security number is going to show up in the IRS database when they do the compliance check. So first of all, never use your social security number to get a client's employer ID number. And second, only do that if you have clients who are actually going to file on time or remove yourself. Make sure you remove yourself. William wants to know, who at the IRS do I call to see if my issues are fixable? Well, there is a phone number on the instructions to the Form 23. That is the phone number directly to that office. So give them a call. What else do we have on the Form 23? So they ask about the CAF number. Theoretically, you should only have one. That's the centralized authorization file number that you get when you file a power of attorney or an information authorization request, a Form 8821. And then they ask about being current. They ask if you have been sanctioned by a federal or state licensing authority, or if any government or court turn down your admission to practice. Number 11, convicted of a tax crime or felony. That and number 12 are very, very major issues. But what don't they ask about over here? What don't they ask about? They don't ask if you've ever filed bankruptcy. So a lot of people are concerned that they file bankruptcy and that they won't be eligible for their EA. That in itself is not going to be an issue. If you file bankruptcy and discharge your tax debt, that might turn out to be a problem with respect to compliance. So people want to know about study time. Study time is going to be different for everyone because everybody has a different ability to learn. You have a different database of knowledge in your brain. So a lot depends on how much you already know. If you just want to pass the exam and you don't have any education at all, but you have some experience and some training, you've done some tax returns, invest at least 30 hours per exam, maybe double for part two, and watch either my class videos, or if you're using Fast Forward Academy that's also very good. They have videos. Watch the various videos. I think Glime has audios. I don't know if they have videos. If you have Passkey, there we go. So Fast Forward Academy and Passkey. I record the entire class for Lambers. So we've already got part three done, and we're working on part one and two. So that's going to have all videos. With only individual tax preparation, with only individual tax preparation, you don't have any business returns or representation expertise, invest at least 50 hours on part one, 120 hours on part two, and 40 hours for part three. If you have no experience, no education, probably double the study time unless you are super, super smart. One of my relatively new buddies in the last couple of years managed to pass all of it in a couple of months with no background or experience. So, but I think he's actually quite a genius. Roberta says GLIM does have video instruction. And Michelle wants to know why somebody would use their social security number to apply for somebody else's business. I have no idea, but I've seen people do that. So I don't ask me the whys of what people do. I can only tell you how to fix what they've already done. So what about to pass the exam and actually learn something? So more than just to pass the exam, to really learn tax. And a lot of people who've had a lot of many years of experience and go through my classes find that they're learning a lot of things that they didn't know about. Please understand, I have only been working in the tax industry for a little bit over 35 years. And every year, I learn so much. I figure out something that I've been doing that I didn't understand why I was doing. There is always so much that is completely eye-opening. And I'm always concerned that I don't know enough. And I've only, you know, like some people, you know, have had 1 year 10 times, and other people have had 30 years 30 times. So, you know, I'm constantly learning and I'm still not knowing things. So to pass the exam and learn, figure that you've got about 128 class hours plus 72 hours of final reviews. You figure you're going to add at least another 4 hours a week of private study or study buddy time. And what you're going to end up with is something that is more than just passing the exam. You're going to learn how to run your practice. You're going to learn how to get your clients under control, how to make life easier for everybody, make it smooth, make it work, be ethical, not let somebody bully you into doing things you don't want to do. It's going to change your life. And look at what Brad, and when he got his EA, he was so stressed all the way through the process about changing jobs and everything else. And so he sent us his certificate and he said, thank you so much again. EAs certainly earn credentials as America's tax experts. My graduates begin at the top of the game because I teach you so much so you don't have to recreate the wheel. You don't have to make the mistakes that I made with accepting the wrong clients and so many things that you're just going to be able to do better and be happier and less stressed in the long run. And so, my friends, those of you who came just to learn about the exam, we're done with the exam information. If you want to stay a little bit longer and learn more about my course, stick around and I'll give you a bribe for $100 to get a discount. Sherry, should we apply for a CAF or EFIN now? Those are two different things. So if you're going to prepare tax returns electronically, then you definitely need to get your EFIN. Do that immediately. It takes about 3 months to get approved. The centralized authorization file number, if you don't already have one, don't worry about it. You only get that when you submit a power of attorney or an information authorization form. So if you don't have one, just put zeros there. If you're looking at applying for an EFIN just for the Form 23 application, then don't worry about applying for the EFIN for that. Francesca wants to know, if I already paid for the course, do I get the $100 discount for staying? What a good question. Drop me an email and I might just do that for you. You just never know. How do you find out if you have one? It's been years since I used it. The CAF. Well, you can always write to the Freedom of Information Office, to the Disclosure Office, and ask for a list of all IDs filed under your CAF number. So you can get that. It will take many, many weeks, but you're not going to finish passing the exam. They're not going to give you your scores until August anyway. So send the note to the CAF file. Nancy, if I signed up and paid for the Lambert's EA prep a few years ago and have never accessed it, you said you did the course for them. Would this be similar to the program? It's different. So the Lambert's program is specifically focused on passing the exam, 100% on what Prometric lays out is the outline. My course is about teaching you all about tax law, tax practice, representation, research, and everything else. Irene, I took your course 2 years ago. Do I still need to pay the full price to retake the course? If you took the course 2 years ago, you don't need to pay me anything to retake the course. You're here for life. You only need to pay if you need to get new materials from Labbers, Fast Forward Academy, or whatever. But if it was 2 years ago, you would still have access to Fast Forward Academy and possibly to Labbers. So, you know, people are here for life, and you can keep coming back to the classes and attend, and you don't have to pay anything. You just have to pay for the continuing education. And one of the things, actually, I'm going to throw out to you, because you do have to pay if you want continuing education credit, even if you attend, you know, you're welcome to attend the classes free. So after the first year, you're going to pay $10 per CPE hour for the hours you want. But I'm going to throw this out to you. If you refer anybody or have referred anybody, we're going to give you another year of free CPE from the class. So we'll throw that out to you. Prometric is logging you in. Okay, good. All right. So let me tell you about my class. So thank you all those who, you know, were here before for the first half. So now let me, here's the sales pitch, guys. So some of you are here who have been with me before. You know how it works, and you know it's a family, and you know that you know that we work together. We try to have you connect with other students. And, you know, you end up building relationships and getting to know people who you can work with, who have different areas of expertise. So one of the things that we do is we teach you all about how the tax system works, how the tax forms work, dealing with clients. We highlight some of the day-to-day problems. We walk through sample tax returns and help you understand the things your clients aren't telling you about, how to identify when you really do need more information. We help you understand not just what the numbers are on the forms, but some things to think about, how to use this instead of that, all of the things that they didn't teach me about in my classes in college that I thought were an absolute waste of time. We're going to teach you how to be really useful tax professionals and how to make an exam, how to improve your clients' lives, and how to move on towards other things. And the other thing that we do is we also answer your client questions and your practice questions. So we have a forum where you can post stuff, and we will give you answers and give you links to the information. If that's what you want, this is the only course for you. Everybody else just prepares you for the exam. That's what they are. They're exam preparation courses, and they are excellent. They're absolutely excellent. But if you want a long-term relationship and you want to meet a group of people who are always going to be with you, This is what we're here for. Now, how does this work? We are going to start the live class on May 1st, and we are going to meet practically every Saturday from 8 a.m. to noon Pacific. And then we're going to meet Tuesdays and Thursdays from about 4 p.m. to 6 or 7 p.m. Pacific. You're looking at being in live class for about 8 to 10 hours a week. The classes are going to run through October. We are going to take a break between part one, part two, and part three so that you can take the exam. There are two different components to this class, to this course. One is the EA exam prep itself, and we call that the final review sessions, where we have you all take turns reading and answering and explaining questions, and we spend the entire 4 hours focused on how to answer questions, how to eliminate the wrong answers, how to figure things out when you've never seen the topic before, and what to do when you've got that deer in the headlights look and you're sitting at the exam. We're going to prepare you for the exam itself. The other part, and we have four of those sessions for each part of the exam. The other part is what I call solving the tax puzzle, and that's the learning part. And one of the reasons I broke it out is because by breaking it out this way into a learning program, I'm able to provide continuing education through the IRS and through NASBA for CPAs and EAs. And so all of those other classes, and there are about 45 of them, all of those qualify for continuing education for CPAs and EAs, not CTEC and not attorneys. We haven't done that. One of the other benefits of the live class is you get instant gratification. You can ask questions. I will answer them in class. You also end up with not just a video of the class when it's over. And I'm seeing that if I use Zoom, I can get it within an hour or two. You also get an audio, one that you can download, listen to while you're working out, doing housework. I used to say in the car, but nobody's going anywhere. Or if you're commuting, it was very good. But, you know, it's really great to help you fall asleep at night listening to my voice. Your children, if you have new babies, like listening to my voice. It's soothing. It puts them to sleep. They stop crying, I've heard. So you have that. Most places charge you extra fees for the continuing education or for various other tools, or they'll give you, you know, 4 or 5 hours of continuing education credit included in the class. With us, you get the whole thing. The self-study version of the class is a recording of the live session. So the self-study version of the class doesn't get updated until we teach the live class. So anybody who wants to go in that direction purely, the only thing I would start with in that direction is part three is ready. It didn't change much from last year. But the premium class, the live class, since everything gets recorded and it's all sitting there from last year and will be replaced this year as we go along, you can also study on your own time. If you can't make it to a class, you don't have to tell me. This is not elementary school. No one's taking attendance per se. You're here on your own and everything is recorded. You can watch it at your convenience. And you get to stay in the class until you pass. Okay, you get to stay in the class until you pass, but you get to stay beyond that. So even after you pass, you get to stick around. So you're very welcome to always come back, always contribute. Some of our returning students become mentors for other new EAs. Some of them end up hiring some of the new students. We do ask you to track your attendance. I'm still trying to find a good system that will give me better tracking by person instead of by class. So we give you a spreadsheet so you track your attendance, and then we'll fill out one CPE certificate for part one, part two, two of them for part three because of the ethics. So that's the other thing. You can be a part of both, and because you're out of town, so if you're part of the live class, everything is recorded, so you can do it self-study. So what do you get? You get the live sessions, you get the audios, you get the final review sessions, you get the videos, the MP3, and a bunch of tax cheat sheets. Also included, we include the Fast Forward Academy online bundle, which includes their online study guide. We include the Lambers tax prep. We include the tax book. All of these things are included in the premium class. You get my book, Small Business Taxes Made Easy, which really totally relates to part two of the exam. We also have two follow-up classes per month. Once the class ends in October, we meet twice a month, and those two sessions are customized for the students that want to attend those sessions. Those are designed for people who are still sitting for the exam and they need more help in part one, part two, part three, a specific topic. I totally customize. You tell me what you're studying, what you're struggling with. I customize those two classes totally for your benefit. So even if one person sends me stuff, I will create the customized class. So that goes usually from November through February. We also have a monthly live in-person tax roundtable online, which is basically an open mic. You can ask anything you want. So anything you want, send me the questions in advance. We'll start with the ones people sent us, and anything else we'll bring up. And I don't care if it's client-related, class-related, anything general. So all of that stuff is included. The interesting thing, by the way, Fast Forward Academy, the reason I'm working with these two companies, Fast Forward Academy and Lambers both give you online access as long as you need it until you pass. So they don't have you re-register, unfortunately, with GLIM, unless you pay for a package that costs as much as my class, you wouldn't get that same privilege. They only give us a year or two. The Taxbook Web Library is a really good tool with all of the tabs are just like individual cheat sheets, great summaries of the topic. And not only does that give you the current year's data, if you scroll down, it gives you at least three prior years worth of data if you're actually working with non-filer clients, and it gives you access to their state book so you can look up states that you're not familiar with if you have, you know, the lone client that you don't know what to do with. Gina, I believe I enrolled in the online course, in the self-study course. Drop me a note and I will take a look. So I will look at whatever it is about any updates. So the course library, we start every class at 5 minutes after the hour. Typically on the Tuesday, Thursday classes, we will not take a break. Saturday, the 4-hour class, we usually take two breaks. So don't worry, we do record every class. And you will be able to watch it. Every class will come with three PDF files. One of them will have one slide per page. One of them will have two slides per page. The other will have three slides per page. You can print out whichever you like. And you can write your notes all over it and do whatever you want. They will be available the day before the class, usually, worst case, the morning of the class. For the Saturday classes, you'll always have it by about noon on Friday, the day before. Once the class is done, usually within 4 hours or less, I'm able to post the video, and the audio will come a few hours later or the following morning. So we'll have everything so you can do this, whether you need to hear it, see it, or read it, whatever your learning style is, you're going to have all of that access. I told you about the CPE credits. So we are pretty much the only one who's going to be able to give you about 80 hours of CPE. And remember, I said, if you referred anybody this year or refer anyone to the class this year, we will give you free CPE, because we'll give you the free CPE the first year, but otherwise it's $10 per CPE credit. Sarissa, would you say that for the most part, you cover most of the stuff on the exam during the live class time? I cover all of the stuff pretty much. Fast Forward and Lambers are question databases. That's for you to practice answering questions. That's why we include them in the class. So you do want to use either Fast Forward or Lambers or both. So they're different purposes. And part of our final review session deals with how to answer the questions. So we have about 40 or 50 questions that we covered during that period of time. So you're going to want it. You're definitely going to want to self-test in the database and look at your own progress as you do better and better in each of the topics. So the self-study CPE, it's just really something that I added. We took the recordings of the classes and put them into a SCORM format where you take the self-study, and then you have to go through and answer the questions and test just like any other self-study program. I kind of designed that for people who are using things like Passkey or Fast Forward Academy or something else. They already have something they're using and they want to learn all of the in-depth stuff, but also want to get continuing education. So that's another option. I'm really not pushing that because it needs to be updated as we go along. When it comes to studying, Gloria, we gave you the Prometric phone number. There we go. Thank you. Appreciate that. Okay, when it comes to studying, everybody has different ways of learning. None of you are wrong in the way that you learn. Please understand that. I don't care what your teachers told you about how you don't learn correctly or that you're ignorant or whatever. I've heard from a lot of people who've had some very unpleasant experiences with teachers disregarding or disrespecting them. In some instances, it's because somebody couldn't answer the questions because they couldn't see the board and they needed glasses and the teacher didn't respect that. In other instances, they couldn't hear properly and you don't know this until somebody tests you. So if this is your normal state of mind, you don't know. I had one guy tell me that he was always treated like an idiot. And when he looked at what we teach using this information from Robert Kiyosaki's book about how you identify your own learning styles, he shone. He was brilliant. And he started running a study buddy group and inspiring the other people in his group to pass. He found not only was he smart, he was a teacher. So we'll give you the tools to help you identify your own learning style. We're going to give you the tools to help you capitalize. The only thing we don't do is we don't put anything to music, but if anyone wants to, you're welcome to do that. If you want to study with others, we'll help you connect with other students and get study buddies. We'll help you work, you know, with Susan and Lulu and me. And, you know, we have a new instructor, Jeffrey Schneider, who is absolutely brilliant as well and very eager to help. These days, I used to point you to online study hall tools you can use for free, but you know more about that than I do. You know all about FaceTime and Google and everything else and Zoom, a lot of things, but we'll give you tips on how to study together. Tony, does a live and or self-study course cover how to work with clients, how to price tax preparation and planning? We do cover how to work with clients. It is illegal to provide pricing information because that would be price fixing, but NATP takes a survey and they make that report available to everybody. And besides, it's also local. In some towns, you can get away with $500 or $1,000 for a basic tax return. In others, you can't get away with $75. So, you know, that's not necessarily something we do, but we'll help you raise your prices. People like us. They really do. And there are people who've joined the class and they're older. For instance, Tom says he's attended a lot of lectures and he can't remember any being as good as my presentations. He likes my learning style and my style of teaching that helps make it easier for people to remember. One of the reasons it's easier is because I just don't throw information at you. I tell you why. One of the things I've always missed about certain kinds of classes is they don't tell you why, and without the why, none of it makes sense. Norbert just got back from part three and he passed. He is also an older gentleman. The exam was tough, but I was well prepared thanks to your courses and practice reviews, as well as the exam questions from Fast Forward Academy. I spent much more time preparing for the part three exam, and it seems to me this is the area that seriously challenged me the most. For a lot of people who've never done any representation, even though part three is the smallest amount of knowledge you need to learn, for many people it is entirely new. And of course, I like that he says that I'm awesome and the courses are incredible. They taught me everything I needed to know and couldn't have done it without you. And Susan, who has her farmer review, she does a really great job with farms. And it turns out he actually had a farmer client he was able to help because of these classes. And so there's more over here. You can read these. One person was just going to do this to be able to take care of some stuff and found out, you know, her own husband's stuff and decided she has a whole niche because her husband's a trucker. Victor passed the exam from the last three series. I'm not going to read these to you, but one of the other things that he did say is, I also teach you kindness. Not just how to make a lot of money, but how to also temper what you do with clients that you love and treat them with respect. My guarantee, if you don't pass, you stay in the class. I don't care how long it takes. Some people are coming back after 10 years. They had babies, deaths in the family. Doesn't matter. You don't need to pay me anything else. The only thing you would need to pay for is if you need to get testing software like Fast Forward Academy or Lambers or whatever that you didn't have at the time. And those people who really like GLIME, I have negotiated discounts for you. So if you want to use GLIME, we're not using it in the class anymore, but I can give you an order sheet with discounts. Now, I will tell you this. We do reserve the right to kick people out if you are really rude and disruptive and you keep running up things in the class with hostility and anger and so forth. If you treat other people badly, we don't do racial things. We don't do political stuff. We've only ever kicked anybody out of the class twice in our history, and it took a lot to get to that point. So, There is a no meanness tolerance. We're all about encouraging people. The other thing is that if you are on a payment plan and you don't make the payments, you're adults, you can put 30 days on the calendar. If you don't make the payments, you may get kicked out of the class. The first payment that you make only covers the cost of the software that we buy for you, the materials we buy for you. So the first payment doesn't cover anything. We don't get any of it. The second payment may be enough to cover part one. So that's it. Then you'll be kicked out of the rest of it. So please, I get charged on those installment sales. I get charged every time the computer tries to charge you. And if it doesn't work, I still get charged each time. And I don't get happy paying for people who are not paying attention, and you get a notice a few days before, about 5 days before, that the payment is due. If you change your credit card or you're having a problem, let me know. If you need more time, let me know. The heart of tax representation is communication. If you want to be a good tax representative, work with the IRS or anybody else, You have to communicate with them, also communicate with me. And the other last warning is, if you unsubscribe from the class emails, then you're not able to get our emails, you will be ejected from the class. So those are the three things that will get you kicked out of the class. Does the self-study course, it has the same guarantee as this. All of these things that we've talked about today, the recordings are going to be on the main school website, the public website at irisexams.school, FAQs. On the Tax Mama website, all about everything about the EA exam, and in the board, there is a link to this particular recording. So Kelly can't find the How You Study. Drop me a note and I will find it for you. But that's one of the things we're going to cover on the orientation. So we're going to be covering that on the orientation. But if you drop me a link, I will get that for you. So for those of you who want to sign up today, right now, there is still a $100 discount on the class overall. That discount will end on April 21st, so we have time to get ready for the school. Anyone who is a paid family member, if you use the family member discount as a paid family member of the Tax Mama site, you can get an additional 20% discount, which did drop to 15% on April 1st. We have discounts for people studying at the same time. Everybody is going to get these two bits of swag, the markers, the very colorful markers, and the post-it notes so that you can mark up all of the different printouts that you're working with. Tony, the self-study class covers everything in the live class. It's the recordings of the live class. So it's everything in there. It just gets updated when we do the live class. Gloria, you're already enrolled in the premium class. How much do you need to pay? Nothing. For today, whoever signs up, the first five people who sign up today are going to get a Logitech headset to use in the class. Amazon only lets me get three at a time. So the last two people are going to get a different headset, but it's even better. Then the first 10 people who sign up are going to get these special peachy folders. So I don't know if you are old enough to remember using these peachy folders in elementary school, where on the left and right hand side of the inside, they had all of these tables with the math and the multiplication and everything else. That's how I learned math. I love those things. I happen to come across those. So the first 10 people are going to get those. And the first 10 people are going to get this really neat three-port hub with sticky tabs. For those of you who've already gotten those hubs, I don't know if you noticed that there's a little drawer on the bottom that has the cable to connect it to your computer, so you have an extra three ports. So I thought I'd put that picture there. I'll try to remember a notice. Try to remember who got those the first two times and send them information. The discount applies to the self-study class, but only, whoops. The discount applies to the self-study class, but only to, hold it, we'll come back in a second. Let me just reopen this. Take this all the way to the end. Whee! But only to people to sign up for all three parts. Whee! I hate it when I have to use share your screen thing because it does this. Okay, and the code is, hang on, let me get you the code because I have the wrong file open. You need the code. This file does not have that. And the code that you want is Eva something. Oh, wrong one. Here you go. We're going to share this. There we are. Oh, everything went so well, didn't it? Here we are. Got it? All right. So the code is Eva_end. So that's the code so that you can get the discount today. It will be good until April 21st. And so you'll be able to find that. Whee. And I need to find my chat file, which I have. Oh, here we go. Here we go. The price is on the website. You go to irisexams.schoolregistration. The price is on the website. There we go. And let's see, what else do I need to answer? So that's where you'll find the information for the premium class, the self-study class, the installment payments for each of them, and so forth. I'm trying to get the chat back. Cool. Okay. Larissa, I already rolled in the premium class a month or two ago. Is there a way for me to order that hub? No, there isn't. I ordered a bunch of them because we were going to go to CSTC in Reno last year, and now these last 10, we've used them up. But we've got the other two handouts, the other two goodies with the, the other two goodies you should have gotten the stickies. We just got the markers in today. Let's see. Anybody else? If I don't pass the exam, do the Fast Forward and Lambrus expire? No, that's why I'm working with them, because they honor my philosophy. They don't expire. So as long as you need to, just let them know. If you haven't passed by February, just drop them a note and let them know you still want it. I already have Fast Forward Academy and Access, the textbook. Gabriella, send me a note and I will give you a discount code for that, so that we don't have to buy it for you again. Anybody else have any questions? Yeah, Nancy's old enough to find that. Maggie, I bought the premium course just now. It did not go to the confirmation page, but my card was charged. Yeah, we can do that. Lulu will check on that. Hang on a second. Maggie, yes, it went through. Don't do it again, please. I thought we fixed that confirmation page problem. Okay, great. Thank you very much. Thank you. Does a discount apply if I sign up as a family member, and do I have to do that first? You don't want to sign up as a family member and then do the discount. If you're already a family member, the discount is worth it. But to pay for the family membership, I don't know, it's like $300 or so, and you're not going to get a $300 discount. So don't do that. I have GLIM. Of course, you can still use it with my classes. So you'll just be able to follow, you know, the topics in GLIM. So just definitely, I'm not sure if I'm leaving up the GLIM material, because I do have the GLIM stuff. How much is the self-study cost for a premier member? Do me a favor, Gloria, send me the question by email. You may not need to do that. I don't know why you want the self-study if you can already have access to everything that's already recorded. You may not want both. There is a discount, but, you know, I don't think you need it, okay? Because everything is recorded for self-study. There are better ways to get CPE than to pay extra for that. So please don't do that. Anyone else have any other questions? I don't want you guys just to give me money for the sake of giving me money. Much as I want your money, I don't want you to waste it, okay? So do things financially. That's the other thing I'm going to teach you, is try not to waste money. So does anyone else have any other questions? Jean, does a family discount show after I order? No. If you're going to be a family member, first you have to sign up for the family membership. Then you have to get the special family discount code and put it into the order. You don't want to do that. If you're going to sign up for the premium class, you don't need the family membership, and the discount isn't high enough to cover the cost of the family membership. So if you're a premium member, you're going to get practically everything the family member does. Oh, okay. If you're a family member, then go to the family forum. There's a link there to the discount. Pull up that discount code and then put it into the order form for the class, or drop me a note and I will do that for you. Gina, I sent an email regarding self-study and adding on live courses. Let me know the cost difference. I hope I understand the question. Tony, what's a good email if we have other questions? Please go to the irsexams.school site, click on contact. And if you do that, then your note will be filtered so that I can find it. I want to make sure I actually find it. I just made the investment, Kimberly. Thank you very, very much. AB, if you already have Fast Forward account, just send me an email and I will give you a link. Jimenito, send me an email and I will sort out whatever that is. Oh, Larissa, it's going to be fun. It really will be. Jimenito, aren't you already a student? I thought you were already in the class. That's okay. Send me a link and I will fix it. Okay. Anybody else have any other questions? Just the free stuff. Okay. Because I've seen your name a lot. Probably not pronouncing it right.